America Weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, I started off as a stand-up, and I...
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christine Astolfo.
Our next guest is a true comic superhero. He has straightened out your love life. He has taught you how to be a man. He's yanked your crank. He's danced with stars. He's taken down ethically challenged contractors and revolutionized the podcast world. He is now the writer, director, and star of the film Road Hard. It is a pleasure to say hello to Adam Carolla. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on Road Hard. It's the story of a comic named Bruce Madsen, whose career is on the downslide. He's coming out of an expensive divorce. His TV show just got canceled. He's forced to go back out on the road. What's the one thing that made you want to make this film in the first place?
I went through this in my life. I had this experience where the economy went to crap in 08, 09. I got canned from my radio job. And for the first time in like 15 years, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a contract. I didn't have anything. I had two young twins and nothing happening. And I had to hit the road. And I hit it hard. I'd do three shows a night, go to the next town over, do three shows a night in that town. And it was totally humbling. Like, I just remember just being like, God, I used to be a celebrity and now this. And I just learned so much from that year that I spent just going out every single weekend that I just thought, there's a story here. And then I started realizing when I was talking to some of my other friends that are in the movie, you know, Jay Mohr and,
right.
and Dave Koechner and David Alan Greer, and like, these guys all had to do that too. They all had film careers and TV series and everything else, but the economy went south, the business changed, and they all had to go out on the road, too. And it's a young man's sport. It's not for us older dudes. And I just thought, there's a story here, so I went with it.
And, you know, when I see what I did see, I mean, it tells it in a heartwarming way, and it's kind of like a dark comedy. I mean, talking about some really serious stuff. When you're a guy, all right, let's be honest, you're in your 40s, you're approaching 50, and all of a sudden you're used to having this money and these gigs, and it's gone, and you got kids and you got bills. You got to do what you got to do. And, I mean, other than going to Home Depot and throwing on an orange apron and trying to sell plumbing stuff, you go back to what you can do most. It's what you can do. And I know you mentioned, you know what, when you're in high school, you're a screw up, but you can at least make people laugh. I mean, it's your skill, it's your craft. But when you got to go back to it in that way, I mean, that's got to be so hard.
Well, I mean, think about all the bands that were huge in the 90s, early 2000s that are just playing the county fair circuit.
That's
you
right.
Know? you got to get out. It's a whole new world order. You got to get out and prove it. And, you know, the one thing that you have that they can't take away is your name. So they'll recognize, people will recognize your name, and they can't take away your sense of humor, but they can take away your contracts, your radio gigs, your holding deals, your development deals. All those things can go away, and you're pretty much just left with your name and your sense of humor. But the problem is you got to get on a Southwest flight to go get paid.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about. I mean, I'm a guy who always had a syndicated radio show and a couple of TV shows going simultaneously. And now, back, you know, in 2010, I didn't have anything. It was all gone. I just had a mortgage and twins.
How much of you actually went into Bruce?
Yeah, how hard was it to pull from this? I mean, you went through all this stuff.
It was easy because... Yeah. You're into this dilemma, which is, look,
right.
These guys, the thing that always makes me laugh is when you talk to these guys and you're like, geez, you haven't done stand-up in 15 years, and now you're 50 and you're back on the road. Why are you back on the road? And I go, I miss the electricity of the live crowd. Like, no, you don't. You got divorced.
Yeah,
that's what happened. So the dilemma is, you're going out, and you're only going out to make money. I mean, there's just no other reason you'd want to go to, you know, ass crack Texas,
right,
to do eight shows on a weekend. You just want, you go to the Addison, Texas Improv, you're only going to Addison to get a paycheck. Now, how much of your money do you want to spend on a hotel? Because you're going to be there for 4 days.
Oh, boy.
But the more money you spend on the hotel, the less you bring home.
Yeah.
So So you could go find a really nice hotel and put yourself up in a suite, except for that's coming out of your paycheck, and you're only there to get paid. And you could go out and eat at a nice steakhouse every night, but that's coming out of your pay, too. And you could fly first class instead of Southwest, but that's coming off the top, too, and you're only there to make money.
And that's why you're sucking around a vending machine at 2 a.m. looking for Doritos, because that way your kids can have a decent meal when you get home on Sunday night.
Here's the choice. Here's, you know, when you're at the bad hotel.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, you've done three sets. You're back in your room. You're trying to get some sleep. You got your bottle of red wine that you bought for $7 earlier in the day. And you have a choice between pouring it into a ceramic coffee mug or that super flimsy clear plastic cup that's got the cellophane around it in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, talk about painting a picture right there.
I never knew this. I honestly never, you know, because you see these, you know, comedians, yeah, and you just think
things go on forever.
Right.
And here's another choice, Adam, you're faced. It's 2 a.m. All of a sudden, that pay porn. You're not even doing that because that's taking, you need to buy sneakers for your kids. You can't be getting porn at the Budget Inn at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to work. It's going to throw the whole financial thing out of whack. It's not good.
You said out of whack. Yeah.
Intentionally.
Oh, man.
You know, it's interesting. I got to bring this up, though. You talk about how the entire industry kind of imploded, and it's true. You got all this new media. You do a very successful podcast, but you got people literally broadcasting on $150 worth of equipment from their basement, and they're getting people to watch them on YouTube. How has this media explosion made it difficult for professional people to be able to make ends meet and make a living when you're watching some moron in his basement literally getting 4,000 views on YouTube a day?
Yeah, it's a situation where, you know, you used to have to go to a studio lot and the guy would edit on a big Avid machine, and now any 14-year-old can do it on his Mac Air Pro, whatever.
Wow.
It's opened it up. I mean, for good and for bad. I mean, it's like music. It's like anything else. But the people that have the voice will always have a place and a microphone. So I do a podcast, and so do 250,000 other people, and that's just on it's just on iTunes.
Right.
But I get 1 million downloads a podcast, so people do recognize the voice, and eventually you're going to have to say something or they're going to stop listening. So even though everyone can get in the business technically, it's the same with musically. Anyone can record a CD these days, and I don't even know if you need a CD, just a file. But if your band sucks, I don't think you're going to move a lot of product.
In the film, it shows you dealing with the live audience. You know, there's that scene where someone's trying to translate sign language to someone that can't hear.
Because he's got hearing impaired people in the audience. That's always great.
So what is it like dealing with a live audience? What would you say is the worst situation you've ever been in?
If
you could pinpoint one thing.
the late show, people get drunk on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
They are just toasted out there. And then when they get drunk, they just start having their own conversations at the table.
Are you serious?
Super loudly.
I
had a woman in Cobb's in San Francisco who just literally had to be removed. And then when she got removed, it turned into a fight on the sidewalk. And then it turned out she bit one of the cops in the cab.
Oh, no.
And
come on.
She literally went to jail. And then when I walked into my dressing room, her boyfriend was standing in my dressing room.
Oh, come on.
And he was saying to me, it was a great deal. He's like, my girlfriend's in jail for nothing. And I'm like, well, not nothing.
Not
I was
really
the guy on stage yelling, please just sit down and shut up. So I've had a few just people, they won't stop. Like, I've literally said, look, sit down and be quiet, and nothing else will happen from this point on. It's like a cop going, I pulled you over, you blew a 2.0, and I'm in a good mood. I'm going to just follow you to your house.
Oh.
And you get out of the car and go, this is BS. And he goes, I'm going to give you one more chance to get in the car. I'm going to follow you home, and I'll watch you walk in your house. And you go, oh, yeah? And then it's like, next thing you know, zip ties and into the back. It's like
and off you go.
People have a little window,
yep,
and they can't even seize that opportunity.
Last quick question before we have to go. There's a scene in the movie where you're in a hotel room and you're watching a chick. She's throwing up. You're standing there with a boner. Got to ask this. Real or prosthetic?
Thanks. Prosthetic. I made it on set.
Good for you.
All right.
Hey, you know what? You're 50. I'm almost there. I know exactly what you're talking about, my friend. He's one of the best comic minds out there today. Learn more about the film at roadhardmovie.com. Also, check out his podcast at adamcarolla.com. He's all over the place. Catch a Contractor, also a great show. Adam, best of luck with the film. Thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
Take care. And there he goes. I had to get that one in. And you know what? The guy's an honest guy.
I wanted to be like, hey, should I leave the room?
It's his life story. This guy was huge, and now he's not huge. And he sees Kimmel with a late-night talk show. And let's be honest. Kimmel was the second banana on the Man Show back on the Comedy Central. Now, I know what he feels because I know this is coming. It's going to be middle of 2026. I'm going to go home at night, and I'm going to be watching Late Night with Christina Staffo on one of the major networks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be eating popcorn, doing nothing in my basement. And I'm going to say, I remember when I worked with her. I'm Ed Kalegi.
I'm Christina Staffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you know that your child's cell phone has become a valuable educational tool? It seems that cell phones are the new way to cheat. Here's the social science of it. 26% of students store info on their phones and look at it while taking a test. 25% send text messages asking for answers. Get this one. 17% take pictures of the test. 20% use their phones to search for internet answers. And 48% warn friends about a pop quiz. And the new trend, 25% of all students say cheating is the same as a, hey, I'm just helping out a friend. What's the cheap psych trick? Before you say, my kid doesn't cheat. 52%. One out of every two teens admit to cheating. Educators cannot stop this new trend alone. Parents, it is time for a chat with your kid. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer spent his entire 10-year career with the New York Islanders, winning four Stanley Cup championships and being named playoff MVP in 1982.
A play comes to the line. Here's a chance for Bossy. Scores!
So where is Mike Bossy now? After retiring, Mike spent 2 years as a TV broadcaster for the Quebec Nordiques. He also began doing promotional work for Humpty Dumpty, a snack food manufacturer in Eastern Canada, eventually becoming the Quebec sales director in 2003. Mike returned to the Islanders organization in 2006, and today he's their VP of Corporate Partnerships.
And whatever personal success you have, well, that comes along with the team's success.
Mike Bossy, back where he belongs. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.